Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everyone. What a wonderful night it is. I know that it's been a while since we've all gotten together, and I sure was missing everybody. So Spirit has totally told me to make this happen today. So I am going to be doing readings as well as kind of setting a little bit of a tone to the show, and that was really about the book I'm writing about Spirit Speaks. And it's really about all the stories over the past 25 years of working with Spirit that are coming to mind, and I'm writing them down, and I'm really sharing them with people. And they're very hard. They really are my stories from when I was a young girl, you know, figuring out who I was in the world of Spirit, and really how accepting it changed my world. I mean, I was quite young when I was a healer. I'm 52 now, and I started out at 21. You know, becoming kind of initiated with Spirit. I became a massage therapist and then moved on to be trained in Reiki and hypnotherapy and all the wonderful healing modalities out there. But all along, while I was working, I always felt that Spirit was always around me during the sessions I was in. And so a lot of times people would come in for a massage and get a reading, or I would see something around them, and we could communicate with their loved ones on the other side. So it seemed as if Spirit was always quite active around me. And so that was kind of the premise of the book. You know, I started writing what my first memory was when I was younger and our imaginary friends. And to me, imaginary was kind of a joke, because to me, they really were there, and I was seeing them, and they were quite real to me, and I was speaking with them. And so I really have to say this: if you have children, listen to them. Make sure you are believing them when they tell you about anything. You know, something under the bed or a friend that they are talking to that you're not seeing. I would say that because the Indigo kids are here, it is true. These kids are not pulling any punches. They're not really that afraid as I was when I was a kid. I didn't know what to make of it. So I think growing up in a house that was pretty Catholic really led me to kind of have to trust that somebody would believe me. And I was fortunate enough that my mom did believe me and had then figured out what to do. At the time, there was this program called Silva Mind Control, and it was a priest was teaching it, so of course she thought that was pretty safe for me to go to. And going to it was great. I was quite young. I was about 11 when I first went. And they were really talking about dimensional work and visualization. And, you know, this was quite young for someone, but it really gave me a sense of acceptance. And I really have to say that if you're a parent of an Indigo, that's all they really want, is for you to believe them, accept them, and really honor them for the gifts that they came in to share with the world. Now, as you start to progress in this wonderful journey of Spirit, you realize that it is kind of all around, has always been around, and I think there comes a point where we shut down if we are not being honored. And I guess everyone has had that experience, that they heard, felt, smelled smoke from Grandpa's pipe, and they didn't really have anyone to share it with. So they just kind of put it to side and said, you know, I must be crazy. Must be my imagination. Again, that wonderful word, imagination. But imagine is in the word imagination. And I think that we have to start imagining that we are these multifaceted, multi-dimensional beings instead of this one-dimensional state of mind that we pretty much walk around with. And so this is what the show is based on tonight, is your experience and the first time that you had encountered spirit. I'd like to start opening this storyline up, not only my story, but your story, and how it affected you and what changed you from a believer, from a non-believer, or from being someone who was afraid of their own gift to someone who is now embracing it as a I call it, sixth sensory being. So that's what I'd like to kind of start with the show on, is your experience and what kind of led you to know these things. Because as you share them with others, as you really kind of enter into that spiritual knowing that we all have, is that every minute that you're here, Spirit is speaking to us. And that's something, I think, being involved with spirits from quite young age, I think it's a natural state now to really see things with everything I have inside of me. And I'm sure that you are getting more sensitive as you get older. So you are listening with your kind of vibratory senses that are around you. And you are seeing with your eyes shut, and you are believing what you hear as like that little whisper or another voice speaking to you. And you are really honoring the information that's coming to you. And that's what I want to hear about. I want to know from others how it is for them and how they have kind of worked out being, and I say that, different, but I don't feel we're different anymore. I think there are far more indigo kids stepping forward than ever before. I think that we are being heard, accepted. I mean, maybe certain areas of the world, you could still be thought of as crazy or something to be feared. But I don't know, maybe California, that's why I live here. But I do feel there's an openness present in the spirits of most people. That, and when I don't run into that, when I actually come up against somebody who's afraid of me or afraid of their own gift or afraid of spirit, it's actually kind of interesting now, because it's almost shocking. I always think, really? Oh, I guess, yeah. The world hasn't fully come around to accepting it and being able to talk about it without, you know, a hush-hush around it. So anyway, I'm going to start taking some callers, and I'd love to hear your stories, okay? So let's see. I've had a lovely lady waiting. I don't know. Let's see what your name is. Hi, 720, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Jane in Colorado.
Hi, Jane in Colorado. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good, good. So I do readings as well. So I do want to do a reading for you if that's what you're interested in. But I would love to know if you have had, and what your first experience of spirit was, if you've had some that were very profound that changed your belief system.
I started getting interested in metaphysics back in my early 20s and when I lived in Kansas City. And there's quite a big community there called Psychic Research Association. And there's also, at that time, there were a lot of spiritual churches, small ones. And I got involved in one of the spiritual churches. It was a really nice little community of about 30 to 40 people. And we'd meet, you know, a couple of times a week. And we always had a nice camaraderie, and we'd all go out to dinner afterwards. And, you know, it was just really nice. And slowly I learned how to do psychometry.
And can you explain that? Because I'm sure some of the listeners might not know what that is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I don't see it done too much anymore. And it's all that I'm going to get back into this again. I kind of got out of it for a while, but it's what I know how to do. It's taking somebody's a possession that maybe that they carry with them, like a set of keys or a ring or a watch or something, and holding on to it and basically giving them a reading off of what you're feeling from their vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started learning how to read. And then I worked into the Kansas City Renaissance Festival for a couple of years, and they wanted me to use a something in front of me because they wanted it to look interesting. So they kind of forced me into using tarot cards, which is fine with me for anybody that wants to use them, but it's just they don't feel right for me, you know.
Yeah,
but I use them anyway.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of put them out and still asked for somebody to give me their ring or watch while I used the cards, and it still helped. But and I, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I had a clientele for a while, and then I moved to Colorado, and I guess I just got so into my work for the last, 15, 17 years when I was in the mortgage business that I kind of pulled away from that. And now that I'm out of the mortgage realm, I'm going to maybe try to clear myself out, and this year maybe I'll start to get back into it. I hope to find a group of people.
So did you take a sabbatical? Did you take a sabbatical from readings, or did you just kind of just?
I didn't really take a sabbatical. I just kind of it just happened. I don't know, because I got so busy with this job that I happened to fall into, and it was a job where I was able to travel, which is something I always wanted to do at somebody else's expense.
Sure, nice.
So I just kind of, you know, it all just kind of, time really went by, and then I started my own business with mortgages, and that went on for a long time. But now I've gotten to the point where I'm 52, and burnout on just pushing paper is how I feel about what I did, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I want to be of help to people again. So this is something I'm going to probably try to work back into this year, along with I'm trying to help. I'd like to help animals. I'd also like to maybe possibly figure out how to go into a hospice and help people cross over. But I don't.
Oh.
I'm not really sure what they call that, and I'm not really sure how you get into that.
Right, so like a shaman kind of thing, because there's a school here in Walnut Creek that do a lot of kind of training, and they call it it's kind of a shamanic kind of a teaching, and they do usually go when people are crossing over or do rituals to clear homes, or, you know, the kind of a lot more animal medicines and things like that. So if you want, I can give you that information. It's a great line. They do a lot of past life regression work, and we just did an entity removal work with them. And so they're really they do hypnotherapy. They everything there. So I kind of feel like that. If you're ready to move, you know, to the next level of your gift, I think that's what this is about for all of us. At 52, it's a really amazing number, isn't it? Because it's like, I think that's, for me, this is the time that we have the power behind us, and we really do have this grounded cord that has never been more grounded in Mother Earth than ever, you know. And so it feels as if, and I don't know if that's with you as well, that there is this fire that's starting to get kind of ignited again with healers and really Indigo kids. I think you and I probably were one of the first ones that came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that then we had a moment where we had to work in the world. We had to kind of be a part of it all and put our gifts aside. And now I think that I've been seeing 50, 52, 53, you know, 56, all the, this is a powerful time for us to finally kind of emerge again, you know. But also we are very wise as well, because we have worked in the other this dimension, which is money and making it, you know, happen for us in a sense financially. But we've always been, I think, aware of this other space, you know, because of who
mm-hmm.
you are. So you are taking that information that you have by being in this dimension, by working in it, by actually associating with others like you. And now the power is going to even be greater. And that's something I really can see and feel for everyone around me that's deciding to move higher in their work or change it a little bit, maybe get more hands-on, maybe start to be more healing, you know, like you said, working in a real direct way. So I love this because this is a conversation that I have pretty much every day. You know, I live in a community that's quite spiritual, and then most of my friends, you know, drum, and they're all around my age or a little bit younger. But I really see that there's something changing and turning, and it's kind of engaging us all again to participate, you know, to really start mm-hmm. to be that active spirit again, that being seen and heard, you know, and utilized. I mean, your gift is a great one. You know, I mean, it's something you have used, and I get that you've used it, you know, in your everyday life just because of who you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, everyone that knows you knows this about you, right? So they know you're sensitive, and they trust your intuition. And, you know, so we are doing it in our daily lives. But I think it's really about being recognized a little bit greater and to step out, you know, and not to be so afraid. And I kind of get it. You know, I get it's a bit of fear to be recognized again in that. But it's a joy, too. You know, to me, it's a joy to be in a room full of people that you can talk about this with, you know.
Well, I think the most odd thing about my 52nd year, I'm getting ready to be 53 next month, mm-hmm. is that I have never experienced such been very depressed this year. I've been very... Maybe it's because I'm not, you know, I'm not working, but I lost a lot of friends, not to death, just, I did lose one to passing, but just people are falling out of my life left and right, and I'm not even doing anything to, like, hurt their feelings, or I'm just mm-hmm. going, what's going on here? Why are these people, like, all ignoring me, going away, won't talk to me? And I guess there must be a reason for it, because... Maybe I don't need them anymore, but my God, I can't believe. I just feel very alone, very isolated right now. It's weird.
Right. That solitude, though, it's a kind of your rebirth. You know, you're incubating, you know, your new self again. You know, the one that's going to be seen. So I've been feeling that way too, kind of pulled in a little, And I kind of feel like that's what this is about. It's about pulling in and letting the new self kind of be born, you know. So there is a birthing process that's happening. And, you know, if it takes 9 months to be born as a human, you imagine how long it's going to take for us to actually be born as the being of light that we are really meant to be. So uh-huh. I'm hearing you, because I totally have felt that myself, that 52 is also a time where what was charging us before, you know, our hormones and all the things that kept us, in a sense, at that even level. Now spirit has to do it for us, you know? Mm. Spirit is actually working to balance you more now than ever, you know, to give you the vitality you need, to give you the insight, to give you the permission to have those moments of being tired, to take a rest, you know, giving you the time, also the permission to be okay with not working. You know, because what is, you know, what is retirement? It's really a time where then you are now developing the self that you have always wanted to be, you know, to be seen. It's not work-related anymore. You're not ego-based. You're not saying, this is who I am. This is what I do. This, you're saying, this is who I am. And that one takes a little bit of time to reevaluate, to get it back together again. You know, if you've been a mother or a wife or, you know, in the working world for a long time, and you have lost that, and I get that we all have, not just you, but we lose that concept of that make us that spiritual being. And I kind of feel like that's what we're doing right now. So I hear you that it feels like a depression, but to me it feels like a rebirth. But
yeah,
if
I
we
think
look, if
some of the weirdest things, little things that happen are like what somebody said the other day, to drop your card in the fishbowl or something, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a card anymore. I don't have a card.
You have a card. You just have to write that card out.
Make a card.
So why don't we put on the card what it is that you really are? You know, you're totally not a mortgage broker, that's for sure. So why don't we put on the card who you are? And that's what we have to get to. Who are you? Who do you want to be seen as? And enough hiding out. You know, it's been a long time since Spirit actually had you to work with, you know, and that's who your next boss is. And so to me, it's really about accepting that and saying, you know, okay, I'm on board. Tell me what to do. You know, tell me, what do you want me to write on that card? What do you want me to say? You know, your name, you know, intuitive counseling, you know, whatever you feel connected to that you are. And from there, then you will finally wake up, in a sense, and not be depressed. Because when you're depressed, to me, it's really that we haven't shined some light on something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're not shining the light. We're just saying, oh, I'm not that, but then what am I, you know? And the I am is so much greater than what we do, you know?
Uh-huh.
The I am to me is what I always bring myself back to. It's like that is the most important thing that I do, is become the I am, the real God self that I was meant to be, you know, without all the, you know, the stuff. But the real me, the one that really enjoys, like, that's where I always go to. Whatever it is that brings me joy is where my spirit is taking me. So if you like dancing, or if you like art, or if you love animals, this is the time that spirit will use you to do those things, or children, reading stories to kids, or helping those at the hospice. Hospice, death, you know, it's funny because I'm a medium, you know, being in hospice, I always really feel like, yeah, sure, you know, I usually work with them once they're on the other side, but to actually work with them as they go to the other side sounds a little interesting too, you know, and I've thought of that too, but I kind of feel like, well, you know, I feel that wouldn't be it for me, you know, like that, like there's some feeling that says, yeah, you know, but for you, this might be a perfect one, you know, that you could learn drumming and kind of move them into the spirit of themselves, you know, but that means you have to start doing it yourself. That always is the turnaround. It's like, you know, as whatever you want to heal yourself or be a healer in, it is really, really why you are doing it, is for yourself, to actually move yourself to that higher dimension so that you are in it all the time.
I don't know exactly if that's what I'm going to do, but I caught this show on TV 2 years ago, really late at night. My mother was like 2 months from dying, and she was in another city in the hospice, and this thing came on one of the religious networks, and this lady had written a book, and I just pulled it out and realized it's called Midwife for Souls, and it tells all about these women that do this stuff, and it was pretty interesting, tiny, thin little book, but that's kind of what got me interested in that part. But I'm such a huge dog lover too, that I'm torn between, like, if, you know, doing something for people and dogs and animals too, but I don't know. I've got to make a living at something, so we'll see.
Said you can't make a living at what you love, you know? Or and that's really, to me, this is the time to connect in, you know, to give you the answers to how you can, because all my friends are healers, and most of them are medium. They're working. They work and make a living, you know. So I don't think
I have a negative friend who's a real estate agent, and she's very unhappy that she has to continue doing it. And so whenever I say something to her about I'd like to do this, or maybe train service dogs and take them to the nursing home, oh, well, you can't make any money doing that, and it just
brings me down to level one again, you know?
I know. Well, you know, this is the thing. This is the dimension that most people are living in, is this one-dimensional space. But, you know, it's not making them happy. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not even asking the question to their spirit, does that make you happy? You know, do you want to go and do that? Are you getting fulfilled when you walk out of the door? You know what I mean? There's so much more to that question that we've never, and I mean that, unless you ask the question to your spirit, you're not going to start finding the answer, you know?
Yeah.
So I really get that that's the question you wake up with. You say, how do I manifest this life of joy in the life of finance?
Okay.
Help me find that for me, myself, you know, and ask the question, because spirit, I always believe, is kind of working for you. And yet you have to give him the question so that you will start to receive the answer.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
And that really is it. You know, I always, like, this is what I've been noticing, how quick it's happening. So I would say that you will get the answer within a day or 5 minutes. Sometimes the phone will ring. So that's what you have to be really sensitive to. Ask the question and then really be open to hearing the answer through a stranger in the market or a friend calling you and saying, you know, or something you see at the market hung up. You know, I mean, be aware that spirit's going to give you the answer. And that's
okay.
What I really get, that we ask the question and then we go back in to with the blinders on, and then we say, oh, spirit didn't answer my question. You know,
yeah.
And this is how you're going to answer it. It's going to be through, you know, it's going to be through your other sensors that answer is going to be answered. You know what I mean? That question is going to be answered. So let's say you ask the question. Okay, spirit, I kind of work with them so much, like I'll every little thing, you know, even if it's a small thing, I'll ask the question. And then I stay really hypersensitive to everything. Like I put all my feelers out there, just like you would if someone gave you a coin or a ring or something. Put all your feelers, but into the question. You know, like pretend you have it in your hand, because you're a real tactile healer, you know, intuitive. So ask the question, and if maybe you get the answer through your hands, that's what I'm getting. So what I want you to do is get a piece of paper. Right? Ask the question to spirit, you know, what is it that you'd like me to do? Ask the question really, just like they're going to be moving your hand to answer. Just let yourself write whatever,
okay.
You know, and just really don't audit it at all. Okay, don't audit it in the least. Just keep writing. Even close your eyes if you have to. So then this way spirit can really work with you to give you it right in front of you. Because, I mean, there's so many ways in, but I get, because you can pick up an object, you can do this, and spirit will answer you. That's really, I write a lot. Sometimes when I'm doing a real reading, I just, you know, write what spirit's telling me and their names and who they are. And, I mean, I'm really not in control of the writing. I just kind of let it go. So you probably could do that as well. So just do that. Every day, like, if you don't have a journal, start one, because to me that's the time where spirit can speak to you and you can really get tuned in, you know. And writing is a great avenue for spirit to come through. No, I keep getting that there's another move for you coming. I don't see Colorado as your permanent place. I really don't.
I'm glad.
I really don't. I mean, I almost got a quick two in there. So I wouldn't be doubting that spirit is showing me a two-month period or less than a two-month period that you'll have an opportunity to leave Colorado. And I
that
feel
would be
like...
fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost through education that takes you out of Colorado. And it may be a training or that you will go into. And if you ask the question, spirit's going to take you to where they want to put you. So, you know,
okay.
if it is, you know, in California, or I keep getting a sea around it. So I feel your spirit is a whole lot more connected to a California, you know, that vibe, where it would be a connection. I just keep getting California. I don't know why. Just that's so strong around you.
Okay.
Now, I keep getting a Betty. There's a name,
my
Betty.
Goodness. That's a very, very, very good friend of mine back home. In fact, I keep in touch with her daughter. Betty is going to be 99 years old this year, and she's in fabulous condition, or at least she was when I was there a year ago for a woman that age. And she was my mother's really good friend. They lived across the street, and I keep in touch with her daughter.
Oh, so Betty, yeah. And so Betty is the really strong spirit just gave me, wow, strong Betty, Betty, Betty. So I'm guessing that possibly you will go and support Betty in her journey when she does depart and move on. And I feel like you're going to be there. And it's going to be a joyous thing for you. I mean, I really get that. See, you're wanting to work with people passing. Is sometimes, I believe, the spirit is showing you what you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just one person, if it's in your next moment, that is what you're doing. You know, it doesn't have to be this, like, you know what I mean? And so I always feel like your spirit's already telling me what it's going to be doing by what it's feeling.
The odd part is her birthday's in February, and she'll be 99. And I just talked to her daughter, and her daughter's 10 years older than me, and we've become friends while I was back taking care of my mother's things at the beginning of this year. And her daughter and I've kind of bonded, and she's a huge animal lover too. And she wants to do something with animals. And I thought, well, you never know, maybe we'll end up together as friends and do something that way. I mean, that could be.
I really
start.
Do think. And now,
so
where are they? Where do they live? Is this?
It's in Topeka, Kansas, which is about 8 hours from here.
Okay.
It's my hometown. My hometown.
Okay. Yeah.
Now
no,
she has a daughter. Now, the lady I'm speaking of, that I keep in touch with, her daughter has a daughter in California. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So it could
there
be
you
that
go,
that
too.
That could be the connection there. I really do think this is going to be taking you, and I get that. You know, like it's going to be, it's around your energy field. That's why I'm seeing it. So I'm seeing this as being something that means something to your heart, that you're connected to. That's why Spirit is showing me. Now, the letter L just came up. I feel my room just got really cold, so I know that someone's here. And it could be your mom. Let me just ask here. Yeah, okay, well, all right. I think it is. Yes. Is there a D? This feels like a D sound.
Yep,
like
that's my mom, Dorothy.
Okay, Dorothy, okay, she just came in. Oh, yes, okay, Dorothy, let's see what you have to say here. Oh. She has been a little bit worried about you, she said. That's what she just said. I've been a little bit worried about her because I think she's feeling your depression, and she was feeling that you felt very alone. And I think that's why she wants you to connect with Betty and the family and to kind of get kind of reunited and kind of be around people who love you, because that's what she really wants for you, she's telling me.
Yeah, they were very good.
Now, what about shoes? Something about shoes.
Well, her Betty's daughter, her name is Cref, and she's the girl that's 10 years older than me. She gave me a pair of shoes when I was there. Walking shoes.
Okay.
And so maybe that's
there you
it,
go,
you know?
She's really showing me these shoes. Like, yeah, see, they love you, they care about you, they're giving you shoes. She's very sweet.
The wonderful thing about it was that they allowed me
I feel like she's also loved animals too.
Right. They love dogs.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a little dog. I was just going to say there's a little dog with her. And
they allowed me to have my dog in their house. I went to visit them one afternoon, and they said, bring Bojo. And so I sat for a couple of hours next to Betty with my dog and with Kraft, and we all talked, and Bojo fell asleep, and they just loved my dog.
Oh, the dog, she's really, yeah, it's so cool. So we're getting this, you know, she's really giving me great images of you and your life and that she's been there. So every time I see these, I know that's her way of stepping forward to say, look, I'm right with you. I'm right here, you know, and you called to talk to me tonight. That's what you needed to know, that I was here for you. And so, I mean, you know, to get a name, it, let me just tell you, they're very strong when they can give me a really strong letter name that I can hear and that it's them. So, now, I keep also getting something about tea, like a teacup. She's just something about a teacup. And they were, like, beautifully hand-painted, like I'm looking at this hand-painted.
Oh, yeah. There was a box of teacups that I took and put in storage. I have a storage locker in Topeka of heirlooms that I have to figure out one day where I'm going to be.
And
for.
And so she's telling me about the teacups, and she's saying if you sold those, there would be some money for you. And she's just saying that it's okay. Don't worry about it if you had to.
Well,
she's
I won't do that.
She doesn't want you to think of that. She would be upset. That's why she's showing me that. She just wants you to know that whatever you have to do, it's okay. It's all right with her. And she would be happy that you would have time and money to do what you want to do. To do your education or work with the animals. That's what she's saying. So just know that she's stepping forward to really make sure you know that it's okay, that if you had to, it's all right with her. And I think we hold on to things more than they hold on to things, you know. And there's a clock. I'm looking at a very old clock, and it's like
I have a clock on my mantle that was my dad's mother's clock, and pocket watch and some things like that.
This clock is definitely showing. She's really showing me that. So that might be one of the pieces. I mean, it's a very old piece that she's referring to, because she's right there, and I'm right there. I'm like, okay, she's giving me like a tour of your home with things like she's pointing out. So that's very interesting. It's a really interesting. So I am seeing 100 around Betty. So I'm not getting that she's passing before she hits. It feels like 100. She's giving me like, she has like a neon sign and it says 100. So I'm guessing that this Betty is not coming through until into her 100. So
okay.
So it's really more about you being around people who love you, who support you, who want you to be your family. You know, and that there's no reason for you to feel this sense of loneliness, all right, because they really do want your presence around them. So it's really her stepping forward to kind of remind us about, you know, don't feel this way. There are people here for you. So maybe you're going to go out, and maybe that too is about going out to see them, you know, for the birthday or whatever. And so maybe it will start things moving in that direction. Because it felt like two. Yeah, I felt like two is really coming up. So it's like you're going, you know, somewhere quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's so sweet. She's giving me a bunch of roses. She's giving me a bunch of roses to give to you. Like she loves you very, very much. And she's thanking you so much. She says, thank you.
Oh, we have to have a longer conversation, but you've got other people to talk to now.
That was lovely. She's a wonderful, sweet, lovely lady, and just know that she's with you right now. And use her, because she's really present. I mean, so strong. So ask her some questions and write down what you get, okay? Because I know that it will be that second voice that you'll hear, and it will be hers. It will give, she's going to help direct you as well. And that's what you have to know. Your ancestors, your parents, anyone who loved you on the other side is really going to help you navigate, you know, what it is that the next thing is, And that's what I always ask, you know, all the time. Just, you know, show me the way, all my ancestors, all my guides, you know, bring them all around to start that question, to evolve, yeah? All right,
yeah.
I'm gonna take you on and call me back and let me know how it goes, okay? Love to hear
about it. I will.
And
you on your page is, I'm not looking at the computer. Is there a place mm-hmm. to get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
Absolutely. Heart and Soul Holistic is the name of the show, and if you just punch that up on Blog Talk Radio, it'll take you to my site, and you can totally get and you know, call my email's right there, and you can contact me.
Okay. I'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a wonderful
Thank
night.
Very much. Okay. And I'm going to keep listening. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, hi. You're in Heart and Soul, Mary Lou Who.
Hey.
Hi, sweetie. Nice to talk to you. I was thinking all my peeps are going to call. I hope so.
I got two nagging questions. I don't know which direction to go to.
Okay.
Which question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I have my first nagging. I am trying to investigate a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And ancestry.com, I have been doing this for 20 years, and I am, like, so close to, like, a major discovery. But I'm not sure if I am connecting the dots correctly because the facts are off. But in the past, when the facts are off, you just have to take a leap of faith and you find out you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So you did some work. You found out some information that
right.
is making sense to your spirit. Then you're saying, okay, that totally makes sense to who
right.
I am. Okay. So...
So I've been told a story about, okay, so I know who I was in this particular past life that's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have documented it in gory detail. But I'm trying to make a link between a story I keep hearing and a person that isn't documented, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that
mm-hmm.
I know that they work for the family, but it's hard to find family records from 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They exist out there somewhere probably, but even so, they're hard for me to find. So on Ancestry.com, I found a person that fits the description in the census, but
mm-hmm.
part of their name is wrong.
Yeah, but it's only just a little wrong, like, you know, just off by a sound, because you could just be, you know,
well,
like when I think sometimes you have to just, like, know that you may have heard it differently, but it was close, you know, so maybe
well,
that
I'm
is
looking,
it.
Mm-hmm. What I'm looking for is someone named Peter with an
mm-hmm.
Irish last name.
Mm-hmm.
And there happens to be someone who does the job that I'm looking for in
mm-hmm.
the family census, living in the house with an Irish last name that is of the right age, but their first name is Andrew.
Mm.
So I'm wondering if that's the person I'm looking for or if that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, I would say, you know, my guy just said coincidence. So I feel that could be just that it's not it. You know, there's something else there. That feels like, I felt like maybe there was something else in that family that that you don't know about yet. You know, that will answer that question for the Peter. That's all I keep getting. It's almost like uncover just a little bit more and you're going to find it. You know, so let's go, let's try a different approach. I mean, if this is not answering it, so maybe we can try a different approach of connecting something that will bring you to more of an answer or more of a vision. Of who you were. So how did you get to do the past life? How did they take you back to see yourself? How did they do the past life regression?
This is the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
About 25 years ago, I
mm-hmm.
was reading it on a psychic chat line, and mm-hmm. I was in a psychic church, and so pretty much everyone in my life, all my friends, everywhere I went.
Yep. Hello? Oh.
Hang on, something turned on. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I heard Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Maybe we're just, maybe turn down your computer. It could be interfering with your phone. That sometimes happens. So my question, because I do past life regression, and I usually do different ways to get them to recognize or get the information. So I'm wondering if we did a real past life regression on you, like one right now that's really solid, you might get really clear information, you know? It's really up to you, but I think that it would probably be good to do it again and see if you get clearer. It's like, you know, it's like going back to watch a movie the second time. You'll catch things because you already know where you're going, which is great. You already know who you were. You already know the, but now if we took you back, you're going to have even more information.
Okay,
you know?
So can you hear me now?
I can. Yeah. Can you
okay.
hear me?
I just closed a bunch of windows. I don't know what I closed, but I made the sound stop.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the browsers refresh and it starts playing old shows that I might have left open.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the way I got the information is that it started with something was happening in my life and people kept on seeing me 150 years prior to the current day event. And so I got all these bits and pieces and I found out who it was and I went to a library and it all matched up and then I dropped it. And then mm-hmm. you fast forward to about 5 years ago and start happening again wherever I go. People will start telling me about what I already know, but they keep giving me another piece. And I did go under a past life regression, and it got me nowhere. And I did it a couple of times, and another time I didn't go backwards. I went forward in time. So me regressing doesn't seem to be where it's coming from. It's coming because apparently it's dripping off of me. It's just
showing up like that's who you are that people are seeing. I see. Mm-hmm.
No, it's showing.
So
up
you're kind of like you're kind of layered on top of your past life. I've seen that actually working with people. They're so it. You know, they're so that person of who they were that it's visually, you know, being seen in this lifetime. And I get that, like, some of the Renaissance people and people that are reliving a certain era, I mean, really reliving it, they are really just bringing back that life in full, you know, in full force, really.
No, I don't think I'm reliving. I'm not reliving the same life. It's like I'm fixing what was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy doing
Wait,
that?
Wait, now that's doing it again now.
I don't know where it's coming from.
That is. Okay, let's listen.
Wait a second. I'm going to do a force quit. I must refresh a bunch of windows. Okay, that should do it. Okay.
Okay.
So basically, what I seem to be doing in this lifetime is fixing all the things that was broken in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
that makes sense. I mean,
so I,
you know,
I set up a soul contract to learn or heal or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so if we went into that knowing, like that's really, I think, where the answer will lie, is if you go into that knowing of what you just said, which is that's what you know you came to do, right? Which is
right.
To help fix, mend, and kind of make better what didn't happen in that life, last life, then that is kind of an overlap. You're kind of pulling out that last life and you're completing it. You're making it have a completion. That's a positive nature probably, right? So I think about that, that's what we're here to do anyway. Like when I do past life, I really get that. I might take them back 3-4 lifetimes, but each one of them has a bearing in this life, really strong. I mean, like, amazing. Like, the person was a male, and, you know, now they're very masculine women, you know, yet they never had, and then the last life they, you know, had died at childbirth, and, you know, now they want children, but they can't have it. So there's always some kind of overlap that I've noticed in the process of seeing the past lives to this life. So that's all I know.
But the weird thing is, there was a life between that one and this one, and I don't seem to know anything about it or care.
Well, maybe that one, see, that one might not have had such a profound impact on you as the one that you're kind of reconnecting with and really healing, you know, or completing, like we're talking about. So a lot of times that one is the one that's in this lifetime you've chosen to fix, in a sense, you know. Like, I just did a past life. We went back, like, four lifetimes, right? Well, she saw her husband that she's married to now. She was a slave. She saw her husband as one of her children that she now is married to in this life. So it's really interesting how the connections pull through, you know. And she knew, you know. I ask a lot of questions during past lives so that they pull the information, like, who is it? You will know, you know, you're pulling it through. And so I kind of get that, I don't know how they did the past life, but maybe there's a better way for you to get the connection, to get clearer on it, and the names. Names are really very hard to get. I mean, sometimes you can see the street name or, you know, the time, the era, the last moment that you lived, you know, how you died, you know, those big moments are really what I take people back to, because they'll remember those.
Well, it's really freaky to me that I'm having a conversation with me, and they just start, people will just start bringing up Peter from a past life. So, and it's the same name. They're not getting the name wrong. They're getting the same name every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm finding a link, but the name isn't Peter. So it could be that Peter was a middle name that they went by. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, or, I mean, this is a question you have to ask yourself, that because this is your information that you have. Who was Peter? You know, was Peter my lover, my son, my uncle, my father? Ask the question and then go into it, you know, go into the question.
Okay, so I already know the story. I'm just trying to find documents that support the story as being a reality and not a fiction.
I got you. Well, I still think that you will. I don't know why, but this Peter might be actually, you know, it might not be in records. That's what I keep getting. It's not in records. It's that old, you know. So I don't feel like you're off on anything there. You know what I mean? It feels like, yeah, absolutely, Peter is the name and is the energy. And so is the question would be, can we document it if it was 150 years ago? But the last name could bring you into ancestors of that family. And you might find the Peter there, you know, as a little boy. Yeah.
They never gave me a last name. Everybody just gives me a first name.
So we have to find, maybe that's what we should do, is go back and find out if you can get that last name.
But so I know what profession, I know what nationality, and I know what first name, and I know that they work for the family. So I found somebody that is the right age, that's the right profession, that has the right nationality and has the right job, but has the wrong first name.
So if we can find.
My question is that person with the wrong first name the right person?
No, you knew the name. See, that's what you can't second guess, is what you knew, because that's the information that you are strong with, right, which is the Peter. So you have to stay with that.
But what if it's his middle name?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Peter, because it was so strong in everyone's, like other psychics and you, and I would say that don't move too far over. I feel it is a Peter. But so that's the question we have to get to, is where you can get the facts about this existence of this person. So we have to find out the last name and the time. I mean, I really get that you know it. I really do. I really know that if you were regressed, you'd know that information. So what I want you to do is, maybe you could use spirit as well, you know, is asking that question. Could you give me more information on the last name? Now, let's say it's an Irish last name, or it's what? Where can I find it? So you need to get clear on the information, and that's why I just know you can find it. It just has to get deeper into your psyche, into your, you know, into that information. Now I keep getting a McKinney. Isn't that funny? McKinney kept my guys keep saying McKinney. So I don't know. Is it that? Wait a sec. McKinney. Well, that's really strong. And now, are we looking at what 18? What's the date exactly? That you said 150.
Born in 1852, and I think he's dead before 1900.
Okay. So I did get it.
But here's what I want to know, too.
Mm-hmm.
Does she know him from California or New York?
Yeah, and I keep getting California. Now, would a Folsom Lake, would you know they're uncovering an area there that they had found under the lake? I don't know why that just showed up. That's so strong. And there was a whole, like, village that was, they're finding out, it was in the 1800s, that was now underwater in Folsom. But I don't know why that brought me there. I mean, that was really something. It was like spirit is shining that on me to look at, you know.
Where's Folsom Lake?
Folsom Lake's in California. Yeah. And it's near Sacramento. It's in Sacramento. And it's a, you know, settlement type of feeling that I'm getting. They're showing me. It could be where the information was. So maybe you're, and I say tribe, because you think about you were in a tribe. This tribe came over and settled, right? So it could have been originally from the Ireland, and they came in to do their iron making or whatever. Yeah,
no.
It feels like. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a person that's Irish, but I was not.
I was of
a family of established in America long, long before that.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So you are looking, when you did the past life, this person is a very poignant person in one of your past lives. Is that correct? Is that what we're, so you saw this, Peter, or you have been told about
this? I did not see this. I get this from other people.
Oh, okay. I really want you to see it. This is way more powerful when you get the vision.
No, I tried going.
You can do it.
And here's what I think it is. I think it is because the person doing the aggression was male, and there's something about closing my eyes and alone in a room with a man I just feel vulnerable, and mm-hmm. I'm less likely to be able to just go there.
Yeah,
I can't explain
it.
Because I trust the guy. I can't explain it. It's a guy.
Right. And, you know, that's perfectly understandable. I think where you're more comfortable with a woman or someone, you know, that you don't have to feel threatened, that you'll go deeper. So I think that we can still get to this. I really do. I really know that you know this information. And it wouldn't be bits and pieces. It would be really clear if we can take you back. So maybe, you know, I mean, I think we could try it. You know, I'll be willing to try it with you on the phone and see if we can regress you and see if there's any information that comes. I mean, you know, just to kind of, I know that you're on it and it's going to be that clarity that you're going to be looking for because the story's there and you know it strongly. So it's just all these little bits and details that you're looking for, really. So why don't you do that? I'm going to say that we can pick a time, just call me, and we'll do a past life on the phone. We'll see if it works.
Okay. That would be awesome.
I mean, really, go on my site, and I'm more than happy to do that. It just would be so I'd love to see. You know, I do a lot of phone work, so it's not like we couldn't do it. So let's try. So go on my site and go to my web, and you'll see my email, and we'll just set up a time. We'll do it. It we'll just see if we can get you to get the information because I have a feeling. I mean, I see it around you. I see that you're putting it together. It feels like pieces. But it would, to me, that's what the past life is going to answer, all those details. And if we can ask the question to your soul that knows the answer, you're going to come up with it for sure.
Well, the story that I've been told is that she had a fight with this guy and he ended up dead. And I think mm-hmm. her family had it done. And I want to prove that he existed and then he mm-hmm. all of a sudden didn't exist. I mean, there has to be a death certificate somewhere, but I have mm-hmm. to find the right name.
It's 11 o'clock.
Right. No. You would have to find the name. No, that's what we'd have to find. And I know you know the name. That's what we can just go in, go to the time where where the vision is the strongest, take you back to that vision, and then kind of get the information to start to look at. Because really, if you walk down the street and you pay attention as when you're under in that past life, you start to see things and people, and information will start to come to you. You just have to slow it down a little bit, you know, in the past life regression. So let's try it. I think it will be fun, and it will be information. And to me, information is what we're here to get. You know, someone can tell you, and that's great, past lives and all that, but I really think it's so much more powerful when you get the information. You know, anytime I've done a past life and I've seen it, is so much amazing. It's like, whoa, that was great. You know, and I've had past life readings, and they're really information. It's great information, but I really have to say, I have so many past lives I've been to that I think, wow, that was cool. And when I've been to Europe, I've actually seen places that I had seen in my past life when I was there. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. So I really get that the more you do the connection, the more you go back, it's going to be more powerful, for sure, you know. So let's just plan a time. Call me. Call me or email me, and we'll figure something out, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, love. I got two other calls, so I'm going to take them, and let me know how. Well, I'll be talking to you anyway. Okay, love.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye, sweetie. Well, everyone, now see, this is an interesting, I love this, because look, this is always happening and the questions are always coming up for people about things. And where in the world, and I mean this, can we have conversations like this? Thank God for shows that people are more open to talk about things like this and lead you, and I get that you don't think you're crazy. You do believe that everything that you are getting, and there are other ways for us as a whole to help each other out. So, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to support this journey so that, in a sense, all questions are answered. And I know Spirit wants us to get those answers. That's one thing I know. And is always constantly trying to give you the answer. And a lot of times, because we're only looking at one way that it should come, that we're not getting broad on our vision, that we're not getting it. So we were thinking, no, it has to come, you know, this way, and it might come through some stranger on the street, or it could come through a book, or it could come. So we just have to stay really wide open to how it comes and not question the way that it comes. I mean, I work with Spirit, and I'll always say, you know, how would you like to contact, or what would you like to use to help this person know it's you? And they will give me, you know, I will give them coins, nickels. I mean, I had one little girl say, no, it is nickels only. That is what I would, you know. And then we found out that she later on collected nickels. The mother had and so her nickels really was a very powerful vision for this grandmother to hear. That she would send nickels. So, you know, we have to trust that we get the information and we believe it, and we, you know, at the same token, stay open, you know. So anyway, I'm going to take another caller. Let's see. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul 646. Who am I talking to?
Hi, how are you? This is
Hi,
Christina.
How are you? What is
Hi.
It?
Christina.
Hi. What was your name, love?
Christina.
Hi, Christina. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good.
So have you had any really great experiences with Spirit lately? It's kind of what you want to talk.
I want to go back to like my very first spiritual experience. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that was before I, you know, was exposed to the paranormal world and the world of spirituality and all that. My mother actually took me to this event where a lot of light workers gather together and perform a ceremony to help the spirits moving on to, you know, to the other world. And I thought that was a really interesting ceremony that they had. At first, I was just like, you know, I don't believe in this kind of stuff. And I thought they were just doing something weird. And I said something that was quite disrespectful. Because I was just like, oh, I was an unbeliever. And I think, so after that, immediately I felt some discomfort in parts of my body. And that's when they told me, like, did you say something, you know, disrespectful about the spirits? And I was like, how'd you know? Because I only told my mother about it, you know, privately. And so they asked me to apologize to them and send them away. And that's how I, you know, experienced spirits firsthand and through this really strange encounter. So, yeah, it was really strange. And then, you know, continuously I experienced, you know, messages and I don't feel spirits per se, but I think I do get messages from them, like in dreams or just unexpectedly at the, you know, through, you know, strange circumstances or situations. So so that's my
experience. So this is a good question, too.
Yeah.
So are you fine-tuning your frequency to really trust what spirit is giving you as you get older?
It's hard for me to discern, but I, you know, but if I want to, if the message is really strong, then yes, then I know that this is real. And if I still ignore the message, then the situation will kind of create itself and it will speak really loudly, like, this is not the right thing to do. It's like, oh, I see. Or that, or that, you know, watch out, something's going to happen.
So how do they show you? How do they come in through your? Do you hear it? Do you feel it, like as a feeling on your stomach or your senses? Like, how does spirit come into you that makes you know it's spirit?
I don't think they come to me, but I just know things. I know things, and I see images, and I remember there is a person at work who has some ulterior motives, which I'm always kind of suspecting, but I, you know, didn't have any definitive proof. And then and there was one day where I was just waiting to take an elevator up to a different floor, and that elevator was stuck. And I was stuck in the elevator for a while, and finally, you know, the door opened, and some other coworkers walked in, and they were gossiping about this guy, and that's when I heard, you know, and it confirmed everything that I was suspecting. So I thought to myself, how strange was that? Like, that wasn't a coincidence.
No. So you are you're using your intuition, not your spiritual recognition, in your life. It's like your intuition is kind of showing you, telling you, kind of this inner knowing. You know, but not based on the spirit kind of coming to you and giving you the information. It's just like really within you that you get that feeling or knowing that this is.
And I do
something.
Know if I disrespect them, then they will they will let me know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I always think like to disrespect, you do have to kind of believe in it to actually say, well, you know, I don't think so. I always think that more the skeptics are the ones that have the greatest opinions on spirit, you know. So I always think that's kind of funny. You know, the ones that that don't believe have a really strong feeling about it, and I always think it's because they do believe and they're afraid of it. You know, they're afraid that. Not you. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying in general, like my experience of people that are a little leery about spirit, you know, or information like that. Yeah.
And I was wondering, what do you pick up about, you know, that strange occurrence where I was taken to the ceremony and people were trying to help the spirits, the earthbound spirits, to cross over. And, you know, and at a time, because I was just a, you know, non-believer in this kind of stuff. And that's why I didn't think that what I said was disrespectful. I was just like, you know, what are these people doing? This is so strange. You know, do they really believe that, you know, this kind of stuff happens? And then I, you know, I felt some strange sensations, you know, and body aches. And, I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah, so it was, like, noticeable that something you were feeling.
It was very noticeable.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because I do, and I have been trained in entity removals, right, which is kind of like that. You know, like I'll work on somebody, and they've had all of a sudden, they have a lot of pains, or they have a lot of fears, or they probably came in with some fears, right? So what we do is usually I go through their whole energy system. And we go from head to toe, and we really look energetically at their body and find little entities, and we ask the questions, who are you? When did you come in? Are you male, female? And the person knows the answer. My name is Jean, and I came in, you know, 10 days ago at, you know, where did you come in? At the bar, you know, really interesting information. I have to say, since I started doing this work, I'm like, wow, we're like sticky paper. We really are. And so I do know that, you know, when you think of all these spirits that didn't know they passed, right? They didn't know they passed. They were nice people. They lived next door. Like, just picture someone nice next door who's sitting there, and the next thing they have a heart attack, right? So they just really didn't get that they passed. And so they might not have known themselves as a light being. They might not have known themselves as a spiritual being, as a bigger person than they are, than they seem, which is this human experience, right? So they kind of do kind of attach themselves, and not in a negative way, but they do can weigh you down energetically if they just kind of attach to you because you like dogs. And they hang out a little bit with you. And so when we do the release, it's really interesting because what we do is we call in, you know, their loved ones on the other side, kind of what you were doing. Bring in the light, call in their loved ones. We wait until that person, you know, feels, I mean, not we both are feeling that person leave their etheric body, leave their energy system, and then all of a sudden there's nothing there. They're gone. You know, so we're kind of releasing them into the higher plane. You know, so I think that's cool that they were doing that as a whole. I think that's really neat that, you know, they were doing that just to do that, because I really get that. It happens all the time. You know, especially people that work at hospitals have a lot of entities. Mm-hmm. That's something I've noticed, because a lot of people pass. You know, it's where, and so, you know, they kind of just hang around. They're not negative. They just don't know that what to do, you know. And so it's really nice that you had that experience, but I really get that the weighing down feeling or that feeling of illness could have just been that they were really in your field, you know, because I've had that happen where I feel like they're on top of me, right? And so I'll just say, okay, move out of me right now, you know, just move out, you know, push them out. I really do. I physically, energetically push them away from my field, and then all of a sudden I feel better. Yeah, so I think what happened is because you were young, you were very open, you were extremely vulnerable to anything. You didn't have your boundaries set up, right? Now, just know that boundaries are your biggest and best friend when you start doing work, especially that type of work where you're releasing energies. If you don't use your boundaries, I mean, like before I do a show, I do my smudge, I call my angels in, I mean, I do everything to make sure that I'm protected, that I am in a safe place. I call my guides, my angels, my ancestors to kind of circle around me And this is something that I have to say is a really important thing as we start to move into, you know, understanding the other dimensions, is that you have to make sure that you don't have tag-alongs that kind of just hang out with you, because you'll start feeling pretty tired sometimes or afraid of something that you just never had that fear with. But if you then find out about that person's life, like let's say we did a past life entity removal, we'll ask that person how they died, and they might say a car accident, you know, and all of a sudden you're afraid to drive in the car, you know. So a lot of times they do bring in some energies that can affect you. And that's what we need to get better at, is protection. So I really think that you were just really sensitive, and I think that you were experiencing possibly what that person might have had as an experience for when they passed, a stomach ache, you know, or a headache or something that caused them to move on, and you were feeling it. So you could be empathic. You could be an empath. You could be that could be your gift. Like you would have to make sure when you're around spirit that you don't take on any of their illnesses that they had experienced. Because I have a friend that's a psychic, and she'll, like this really strong psychic, that's what she does, and she feels their pain when they died. Like physically feels it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like I always think, you know, like that is really enough. And she's a very obese woman. She really is. She's probably about 150 pounds overweight. But if you think about her energies are always being bombarded by all these negative, so she's building kind of a cocoon to protect herself too on a physical level. So I always think, you know, we really have to really have our protection down. You know, to be too sensitive is could be unhealthy, you know. And that's something that I really get, that as we move into these other dimensions, you know, you are six, seven, eight sensory person. You can feel so many things, you know. If you just think of your senses in general, you know, everything that you work with every day, and then you add the sleep sensory, the one that you have the dreams in, that's another sense that you have. And then the one that's in your guts. They actually did a great study. Did you know this? They took some tissue from the guts, from your guts, and found that it had its own consciousness.
How?
It has its own nervous system. So when you feel something, it was a real scientific study, that your gut actually has different tissue in it that registers another experience that your body is experiencing. So it really is, when you say, I had my gut feeling, I felt it in my gut, it really is, because it has its own mind. And it's on a scientific basis, yeah. So you are, you know, what you're doing here is you're learning about yourself at this other these other levels. And the more you study it, the more you're fascinated by how many frequencies you can be on. I've studied the matrix energetics, 21 fields, 21 dimensions that you can go through and in and have another whole other experience. At 21, when I worked with this teacher, it was truly amazing to experience all those 21 dimensions and really have the whole 500 people in the workshop experiencing it too. You know?
Is there any meditation?
No, it's dimensional work. It's called Matrix Energetics. And really look into it. You can go online and find out about it and even take classes. It's a week. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday class. They're all around. He goes to Seattle, California, San Francisco. But it's well known. He's been doing it quite a long time. And he teaches you how to get into these other dimensional spaces to heal yourself, to heal others, to kind of just get information on who you are, because all those dimensions have information on, and for you and for others.
I believe that what we're experiencing on this planet is a sort of manifestation, integration of all, you know, what we're experiencing in, you know, all these 21 or whatever, how many number of levels of dimensions that we have, you know, in this reality. So I think they're kind of integrated. They're not linear, but how they're all integrated, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, you know, how do I know this person? Probably from my past life, or probably through a different dimension that I know this person. and I'm kind of seeing this person in front of me now in this dimension.
Right,
so
and that's it. You know, that's even more profound. It's not only like what we thought. It's even greater than what we could ever imagine. And that's something I always like sit with that thought. Like, wow, I thought that this was it, but this isn't it. This is even more. You know, and then that's what gets me. I'm a constant student of spirit, so I never really sit with, well, that's it. That's can wait. You know, that's the way it is. Because really now, this energy medicine is all about dimensional work. And you're right. You can have a self that's living another existence on another dimension, and they talk about that a lot. So you could have, let's say you have an illness, this is what they were saying, and in this dimension you have cancer, but you have another self that doesn't, and it might be on 17, let's say, or whatever. So now you get connected to that other self that's on the 7, and you collapse the wave of, like, the psych, you know, the physics wave of energy, and now you go to that 17, and now you are there. That's you. And so, you know, so you've collapsed the wave that you were in, so that one doesn't exist, and now you don't have the cancer. So it's really about that. It's really about seeing ourselves at these multidimensional levels that we never even, I mean, science fiction has brought it up, and they, of course, say it's science fiction. It's not real, but it is real. Mm-hmm. And you have people using this technique and, in a sense, this logical, you know, it's very logical. It's really not in magic. It's really in logic about the world and the physics, really. So how's thinking?
It is very,
you know,
it's a very complex concept, and I think not that many people could understand that everything can be integrated together and how they're integrated, the manner in which they're integrated or how they manifest and how they how things play out. It's so complex that sometimes it just makes me wonder, like, you know what, I'm happy with just living in the three-dimensional world. 1 + 1 equals 2. I'm happy with this. I don't want to think too much about what, you know, other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much for me.
Yeah.
For my little brain.
Well, there are days like that, that's for sure, I always think. But then I really get that. That's what we're doing here. We can stay there. We can go back. You know, we can get tired of playing around, in a sense, you know, of going out. But we always have to come back and rest. We always have to come back and rejuvenate so that we actually get curious again. You know, it's like curiosity to me is a lovely state of mind. It means like I have the energy to ask the question to get the answer. And sometimes, like that first caller, you're tired. You need time to just be, you know, and then in that nothingness, you know, is beautiful too. You know, I mean, I'm Buddhist, so to me the nothingness is a wonderful state of being. And so, you know, keeping myself always busy with all the dimensions, sometimes it's overwhelming, you know. And so I'd really love to bring myself back into that nothing space, you know. So
that's,
I really,
what it's teaching, right?
That really is. No, we are nothing. But we are in that no thing. We're in that no thing. We're in that place of nothingness, which is that concept of physics, really, which is the infinite, right? So we're in it when we're in the nothing. So I really get that it is the same thing. But there, you know, of course, it's blending, like you said. It's blending new ways of seeing it, new ways of explaining it. And they're all so similar, you know. Everything, I always think, wow, that's like this, that's like that, you know. And they're all like about an inch away from each other. And sometimes they're right on top of each other in the concepts or the beliefs or the possibilities, you know, to all the things that could be going on or that are going on. You know, so aren't we lucky though? We can have this conversation and not be hung. you know, think about it. Like, you know, in certain countries, like, no way. You know, women couldn't even have a conversation about it. You couldn't. You know, when I was in China, you can't ask a question about anything. Everybody just won't answer you. And in India too, certain things they just don't go into. They just wouldn't allow themselves to have questions about anything. You know, so I always think we're so lucky, you know, at this moment in time. You and I can have this amazing conversation and be free to.
Yes. Indeed, yes. Patty, I do have a question for you, and I was wondering
sure.
if I can get some guidance from you.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, what do you see coming up for me in 2014 regarding my career?
Mm-hmm. Let's just see. Well, the first one is hope. Movement, choices, and decisions. Wow. Okay, so two are really saying hope and movement, choices, and decisions. So I really like that. The vibe on it is really high. It's now deception. It's funny. Deception and envy just came up on the third one. So I'm really getting that is what might be holding you back from moving forward. Some deception and envy. On maybe an idea or being around certain people that are like that or not allowing you to flourish, you know. So I want you to really kind of tap into that when 14 happens. Now, I keep getting, it's funny, I just saw 15. Oh, no, 15. Oh, it gave me even a date. Isn't that interesting? August 15th. It's very strong. So I'm guessing that they're showing me that the change is going to be happening for you work-wise and even physically in the August months, okay? So look for – it feels like you're going to be on a direction of change, which is good, mm-hmm. and progression. So by August 15th, things will have gotten to that state of complete – you know, kind of finishing it up. Well,
you're right. Currently, I'm trying to move away from a negative situation, and I'm hoping to get transferred back to the West Coast. And currently, I'm in Georgia, and this place just not for me, energetically,
no.
spiritually,
yeah.
not for me. And and I already sort of gave the upper management this kind of idea. Of me mm-hmm. transferring to a different company, mm-hmm. you know, back to where I came from. And they are thinking about it. And, you know, going from a corporate to another corporate job, people will talk to each other. And, you know, I still kind of need the reference from my mm-hmm. current job. And mm-hmm. so there is a lot of, you know, people making up decisions. And I, you know, I'm hoping to extricate myself from this this weight so I can move forward and be able to land somewhere on the West Coast. Because I just feel spiritually I don't belong here.
No. And triumph is your fourth card. So, yeah, you are going to do this. And it felt like they were giving me a date. So everything, you know, is going to start to kind of move in that direction of complete change. And so August, by then, I think you're out of there. You're where you want to be. I think West Coast, yeah, for sure. I almost see, like, warm, sunny climate for you would be the best happy place for you, you know, where you could
yeah.
hike and bike. And, you know, that would be where your joy is. And I feel like almost San Diego.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
San Diego came up. Okay, so I get yeah. that's where you're going to be because I just saw you on the bike trail in like Venice Beach, you know. So you're going. It's just a matter of like you said, getting it so that it works, like putting the pieces together. So I would say you'll be in, you'll be there, you'll be functioning by August 15th. So that's really not bad. That's less than 6 months, really, right? What's today?
It doesn't
Virginia, come
right,
to March, April. May, yeah, okay, yeah. So you could I
sooner. It's okay. I'll be patient.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to have, you know how it takes time to find the place that you're going to go to and to get your apartment. You know, so even though you'd like to do it tomorrow, it's going to be done so that will be permanent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you want. So mm-hmm. I think that's why it's showing me this progression, I know, of working it and getting it and tweaking it and making sure it's good for you for the long run. So I really get, I see you rollerblading on Venice Boulevard, you know, on that strand. So it's really, that's where your energy is.
All the time.
Did you? Okay.
All the time.
This is like the biggest vision I've had, man. I was like so clear about that. So I would say you got it. You know, when spirit gives me stuff like that, like that's it, you know, the place, what you do, everything, it's giving me a real vision on this dimension that you're already in, like we just talked about. You're already there.
Yeah.
So I want you to just to keep two-pointing yourself, because that's what it would be. See yourself there and just keep seeing yourself there. And seeing you see yourself putting on those rollerblades, going for the rollerblade ride, you know, seeing what your apartment would look like, and just see it, okay? See the new job, the position, what you do, how you feel, and just see that. And smell the ocean air in your nose and feel the sun and, you know, feel a church maybe or some place that you'd go that feels really connected to you or some old friends there. I want you to really see it and feel it. And then just let it go. All right?
Okay.
Because, I mean,
thank you so
that's
much.
How strong. Yeah, that's how strong it is. So the more that you connect to it, the more you're going to bring yourself to right into that dimension. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank
All
you
right,
so much.
So. All right. Have a wonderful New Year. I'll talk to you soon.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye, Violet. Well, everyone, that's our show. And, you know, I just love the conversations that we have the chance to have. And like we were talking about, you know, what other country could we have these open conversations about insights, dimensions, spirit? I mean, all these amazing things that we're just so lucky to have. So I want everyone to really savor that experience of the progression that we have made as spiritual beings. And that never give up on the question that you may have or the knowing that you do know. And for Mary Lou, let's finding out that past life, that real strong information. It's in you. It is you. And like we live in these other dimensions, that past life is another dimension that we have information on. And it is sometimes clear, and I get that it's sometimes foggy, and sometimes it's not important. That lifetime was just a lifetime. It wasn't something that you needed to make a completion or make it better. So it wasn't something like, I had one where I had died in childbirth. So here I am in this lifetime, afraid, I mean deathly afraid to have a child. And I couldn't figure out why. I mean, why am I afraid? Everybody's having these kids. Nobody's afraid. I was petrified. I did a past life, and I realized at that point why I had died in actually a couple lifetimes in childbirth. So here I am now faced with that reality in this lifetime, and I am experiencing the fear of it. It really did take over. I actually had to, you know, be hypnotized and do a lot of things to work myself through that experience. But because I knew, and I think that because my experience was of death in the last time that I had a child, that this one, it was real interesting. I actually created, and I mean this, created my to have a C-section. And it really was a peace when I had to have the C-section. I was grateful that I didn't have to have it traditionally the way that most women do. I felt like that would, if that it was my way around having that experience be a negative one. Real interesting. When she said I had to have the C-section, I was thrilled. And I was really, I'm a cranial sacral therapist, so I was really, really happy that I didn't have to hurt my son's head. But I realized that I had created that. I had created the way that it would be so that I could have the experience without the real fear that I had experienced in that past life. So we're all doing this. We're all totally doing this. And we're working through it, and that's something that you have to know. We're working through some of the limitations or the deaths or the fears that we had in those past lives in this life. So I really know that's what's happening. And if it was a real poignant one, if it was about trust or if it was about you know, being overweight, a lot of us died of starvation. I mean, we have lifetimes where, especially Nazi, where we were starved to death. So past life could take you back to a lifetime that you were starved. And so it could be why in this lifetime you can't get enough food. So we are always working those pieces, but we need to connect the dots so that we can heal those pieces in this lifetime. So anyway, love, everyone, I love you all. I am so grateful for you, and I just want you to know that you're all special beings, and you're all here to shine. So blessings to everyone. I pray and see everyone having an amazing 14, because this is the time. 14 is a wonderful number, and I just know we're all going to experience it at a high vibration this time around. So be well, everyone, and I'll talk to you real soon. Blessings.